Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. And today we've got a guest to talk about something not so exciting, something more serious, something that's detrimental in our world today, something that's going on to the people out there across the entire universe, and it's being neglected. We need to share more stories about it, how people have overcome it, and how to look for it and help empower and serve people out there. So who I've got with me today is Elizabeth Frazier. She's an activist, she's an entrepreneur, and she's a motivational speaker. But bigger than that is she was a victim of sex trafficking for over 20 years. Is that correct, Elizabeth?
Yeah, that's correct.
And she's got a story that we're going to dive into today so the listeners out there can understand what to look for, how to help people out, how to be better for people, how to pay attention to what's going on, and how to really come out and serve and try to make a difference and stop some of this going on. So, Elizabeth, let's talk about your early age. When did everything start? When, you know, give the introduction of yourself a little bit better than I did, and then when did everything start?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on, Jason. I appreciate people that are willing to go to the dark places, because change can't happen until people will step into it. And my hope with this podcast is to bring people into the darkness, but not leave them there, and then bring them out into the light so that they feel like there is hope and there are things that can change. So nobody has to worry about getting stuck in this. So please just keep listening and get through it. So my name is Elizabeth Frazier. I live in California. I've got 5 kids and I've lived here about 12 years and I love it. I love the weather. I don't love the traffic. And it looks like I have just a really charmed life now. And it looked like that when I was a child as well. But when I was a child, I actually was sold by my parents beginning at 4 years old. And it didn't stop until, you know, my mid-20s. I distinctively remember 4, but I'm sure it happened before that, or I was at least groomed before that, because I knew what to do at 4. And I wouldn't have known what to do if I hadn't been taught what to do, because no 4-year-old wakes up knowing how to perform sex acts and just does them. So that's kind of how my story started, was a young child.
And you have 8 siblings, correct? Was that going on with your siblings as well?
You know, I have to be very careful when talking about my siblings, because I don't want to share their stories. But I will say that we're very split down the middle. And I only have 1 sister. She's 10 or 12 years older than I am. And the rest are brothers. So I have 7 brothers. And we all have our own story and what we went through growing up. So we're very split on who went through what and things like that. But we all have our own story.
That makes sense. So, you know, have you found it in yourself to forgive anybody for this?
You know, actually I have, and people are surprised by that, but it felt more of a selfish thing to let go of it, because it wasn't serving me to hold on to it. And it was more damaging to me to hold on to this anger and hate that I had to learn how to let go of it. And so I did. I confronted my parents with my husband about 8 years ago, and I was able to look them in the eye and tell them that I forgave them. And forgiveness is an interesting thing, because I think people think about it in many different ways. And for me, I didn't want them in my life. I wasn't okay with them knowing my children, but I needed to forgive them so I could let go of the pain and the anger of it. And I was finally at a place that I could genuinely forgive them. I had tried before, but I wasn't ready until that moment. And I have. I've been able to let go of the anger towards them for it.
So were you with the same family while this was going on for over 20 years?
Yeah, it was my birth family. I ended up actually, not a lot of people know this, but I was adopted as an adult. So when I was 24, I was adopted as an adult. And that was by this great family that I met in college. And they did it for a majority to protect my children. So if something happened to my husband and I, my birth parents couldn't come and say, hey, we'll take the kids. We're the grandparents, we'll take the kids. So they're no longer my legal parents, but they were up until I was 24 years old.
And you've got five of your own kids now. Being a mother and knowing the trauma that you went through and the pain that you went through, how does that reflect on how you're parenting?
Well, when my son was born, he was the reason I was strong enough to step away. And I cried and cry still a lot of tears over not being enough for my parents to stop. But I thank God that my son was enough for me to stop so that he wasn't pulled into the same life in some way or another. And as far as raising my children, I have to be very open and honest with them. And it's a scary thing for them sometimes. I had to do it, you know, age appropriately. But, you know, I have four boys. I only have one daughter. And I have had to have very frank conversations with my sons, especially about the harms of pornography, especially because my abuse, there was a lot of pornography made. And I think people misunderstand pornography because they think it's only hurting them. A lot of people say, it's only hurting me. It's not hurting anybody there. It's a consent, you know, a consenting adult. But that's not the truth most of the time. I looked like a consenting adult and I did not want to be there. I don't want my kids to get trapped into pornography thinking it's only hurting them, realizing it's feeding into the demand of trafficking, actually. You know, it's drugs can get used and then they're gone. Sex and pornography can get, and people can get used again and again and again and again. And I don't want my boys growing up thinking that that's okay or that's right. And we've had a lot of talks about being safe and how to keep ourselves safe and how to, we just have to be open and honest.
For the listeners and viewers out there, and, you know, explain exactly what sex trafficking is, because I've heard people say it's where they just sell kids or for money, or some kids are fed drugs to where they're stuck and they have to go do it. Some kids or young adults are fearful of their life. Explain a little bit of what that looks like for the listeners out there so they understand, because some people don't understand. They hear it, they know it's bad, but they don't understand it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't. And so sex trafficking can be children or adult. Child sex trafficking is just when it's somebody under the age of 18. But trafficking in general is trading sexual acts for some other good. So it can be for drugs. It can be for money. It can be for almost anything that you can think of is forcing somebody to perform sexual acts on another person. And for me, initially it was a fear-based. Well, actually at first it was, you're so special, that's why you get to do this. And then as I was older and started realizing that this wasn't probably an okay thing, it was more of a fear-based and threatened with my life and my husband's life and then my son's life. And so I think people have judged me actually quite a bit for staying involved in it, but they don't realize the threats that are involved. And it's a very scary thing. So if you see somebody that you think could be being trafficked, it might not be safe for them to open up about it. And that's okay. Don't push them, because if it's not safe, it can be more damaging for them in the long run.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's important that you explain that, because some people just, they don't, it doesn't register. They're not sure exactly what it is. They think it's just kids, but it's adults. It's adults that are forced or feared into doing that, and they don't want to. And it's really sad. And so you turned to entrepreneurship later and found an online shop, Hero Band. Share with us the inspirational process to make the bracelets to strengthen survivors of abuse.
Yeah. So my therapist used to tell me, I went to therapy for so many years and so many hours, and anyone thinking about doing therapy, I highly, highly recommend it, but you need to find the right fit for you. So I probably went to like 10 different therapists, and I'm not exaggerating, before I found one that I felt comfortable around and with. Because if I was going to share these dark, intimate things, I wanted to make sure I felt comfortable around that person. So it took a while before I found the right fit. But once I did, she used to tell me, you're going to share your story and help so many people. And I would flat out laugh in her office, because I'm like, there is no way I would ever tell anybody these dark, dark corners of my life. It is so humiliating and degrading. And I never in a million years thought I would share it with anybody. And years would pass of continuing therapy and working through things and feeling stronger that I found this lady at a craft fair one day, and she was selling some jewelry with inspiring words on them, like strong and peace and hope. And I didn't know what that felt like to feel strong, but I knew I wanted to feel those things. So I bought a couple and was wearing them every single day. And I slowly started feeling the power from them. And as I started feeling the power from them, I started realizing, you know what? I can bring hope to other people and I can help keep others safe. So I can't stay quiet anymore. I have to take that step into the light so that others can be safe. And I decided this is how I wanted to do it, was by helping anybody with a hurting heart. And I've made them for people with cancer, people with addiction, people with depression or anxiety, abuse survivors, all kinds of things. And you can put any word on them that you want that speaks to you. And I hand make every single one. And I started having people tell me how much they were helping them. And I donate $2 for every item to different charities that are helping combat trafficking in different ways. And right now it's the Elizabeth Smart Foundation and Fight the New Drug. And I feel like it has been my avenue of helping so many other people, and being able to share my story has brought me healed wounds in me that I didn't even realize still are there, and have been able to reach others that have come to me and said, hey, this also happened to me. And thank you for sharing so I don't feel alone. And that right there has made it worth it to me to do.
Yeah, I think anybody that's gone through anything that's hard and dark and they feel alone or they feel embarrassed to share, you know, when you share, not only whether you put it on paper and you write a book about it, or you share it in an interview or a podcast or with a therapist, and then you're empowering and serving other people, it makes it easier for them to feel like they're not alone. You're doing the right thing, sharing that, so those people don't feel alone in the dark. And that's really what it's about. Like you said, it's serving people. It's getting people to really make a difference and not feel like they're alone, because it's bad enough that what's going on, they need to be able to relate to, you know, someone like yourself to share that. And I know it's hard, and I know over time it's probably gotten easier. But you're right, you're touching so many lives. You're touching so many girls out there, guys out there that don't understand what they're doing or what's going on. And that's empowering. You know, that's life-changing. That's what it's about.
Oh, I hope so. You know, we all feel these emotions. Like, we feel insecure. We feel all these negative emotions. And I don't want people to compare what we've been through with each other, because it's going to be hard to find somebody that's been through exactly what we have. But if we can relate to each other on the feelings of inadequacy and the feelings of shame, then we can start to heal as a people. And that's what I want everybody to do with these hero bands, is to realize, you know what? I feel depressed. And it's okay. We're human and it's okay. We all need to relate with each other on that instead of what got us to that point, I think.
No, I agree. And I think that's important. So with your hero bands that you've made in building a business, I mean, that's given you that inspiration and more of that why of sharing the story, but also giving back to the foundations you talked about. How many bands have you sold to date, do you know, or around the number?
I honestly have no idea, but thousands. Thousands. And I also make these bracelets. They're called Safe Bands. And I sell them at my cost. And they are given to children that are rescued from trafficking. And when you buy one of these, I hand stamp your initials on them so that when the child receives it, they know there's a specific person that's invested in their recovery, even if they don't know who they are. And that sometimes is the only thing they have when they're rescued, is that bracelet. And so I think, to me, Hero Bands is a business, but it's way bigger than that. It doesn't stop there. Like, that is just kind of the avenue I have to be able to make a bigger change in the world. And I'm grateful to have it. And it's been hard. Anybody that started a business has my respect a million times more, because I had no idea how difficult it is, but so rewarding and so worth it at the same time.
Yeah, very well said. And anytime that you can give back. I mean, you said thousands sold. I mean, think about thousands of people have cared enough to invest in into the Hero Band and give back. Where is a digital platform, meaning like on the digital platform, whether it be Instagram, social media, any of these things that people need to look for to realize what's going on to somebody? What can they watch for a family member, for some, you know, a friend that they see something going on? Is there any tips that you could say for people to look for?
Yeah, definitely.
On digital platform, yeah.
Yeah, there's an organization called the Maloof Foundation, and they did a training video called On Watch, and you can find that just onwatch.org, or look up their social media, the Maloof Foundation, and they did a training. It's short, and you can watch it in chunks, but exactly step-by-step what to look for and what to do when you see somebody that you might think might have been or is being trafficked. And honestly, for me, it sounds so simple, but the biggest thing for me was just everyday people. And I was not in a place that it was safe for me to talk about because I lived at home with these abusers. And if they knew I was talking, the abuse was worse. But I met people along the way, like my fifth grade school teacher, who the instant I met her felt different and felt safe and felt unconditional care from. And that's what kept me going, is people that unconditionally cared for me. And so if you're wondering if somebody's going through and you don't have time to watch the training right now, just unconditionally love whoever is in your life, because you don't have any idea how much they need that. I grew up in a very wealthy neighborhood. This is not a third world problem. This is not something that happens just in poor communities. And so it could be anybody in your life, and just treat them with love and compassion is my biggest piece of advice. And then go watch that training video to help you with the specific takeaways and what phone numbers to call if you want to report something, or how to handle who you interact with and things like that. They do a very good job of step-by-step.
Good. What about, you know, recovering yourself? It's, you know, it's been how many years since you've completely been free of this?
It has been, in July, it'll be 13 years.
13 years. How long did it take till you fully felt free? You may have walked away from it, but how long till you finally feel like you released it?
Gosh, 100% honesty is I'm still working on that.
Okay. Well, that's important to be honest.
Yeah. When I talk about it, it still stirs things up sometimes. I just spoke at a summit in my hometown a few weeks ago, and that scared me and terrified me to the point that for a couple of weeks, I was scared somebody was going to show up at my door and hurt me or my kids. I still have nightmares every single night, almost every single night, and flashbacks. And so I still have to deal with it on a daily basis. But I have learned to turn that pain into my drive to make change and my drive to show up for others, I think is the difference.
That's wonderful. What do you have a relationship? You said you forgave your parents. Do you communicate with them at all? Do you have a relationship with them at all?
Nope. I hadn't talked to them. So it'll be 13 years. And the only time I've talked to them was to confront them. So they met my oldest, who's now 14, but they haven't seen him since he was one, almost two. And they haven't even met my other children, and they never will. And I will never open up a conversation with them until they're willing to admit and take accountability for what they've done.
So one thing, you know, I think a lot of listeners, I know I've had family problems and, you know, some bad ones where my parents were very disrespectful to my wife when I first got married, or verbally abusive when I was younger. And it took me till I was 30 to figure out that just because someone's blood related to you doesn't entitle them to anything. That doesn't mean that they get to be in your life, or that they have to be the grandparent, or that they have to be your mom and dad. A relationship is a relationship. It's mutual. It's giving respect, getting respect. It's giving love, it's getting love. And, you know, there was a time in my life, my parents are better grandparents than they were parents, and I have forgiven them and we have moved on. But they knew no better of some of the things of, you know, raising kids at a young age. But still, it took me to release that. It took me 30 years old, lots of therapy to go, oh my goodness, This is my circle. My wife, my kids, that's my circle. My parents, the extension of, I don't report to them. I'm not stuck to them. They get to choose you because they were upset. We're not going to see your son. No, this is my circle. You aren't entitled to anything. Relationships are mutual. So it's good that you're standing on your two feet saying that, because I think listeners need to know. They feel like, oh, that's my mom, or oh, that's my dad, or oh, that's my brother, or, you know, my uncle. No. You know, that's not how this works. A relationship is love going back and forth. A friendship, you know, caring, that's family. I have friends who are family, you know, more so than some of the family I have.
Yep. And it's also important to point out that it's not easy to lose what you, so for me, I miss what I feel like I should have had. Not what I had, but what I should have had. And so I am so sad often that my kids don't have grandparents, you know, and that holidays we spend alone. And sometimes it's really nice. And sometimes I see other people's pictures and they're with big groups of family and my heart breaks because we don't have that, but it is worth it. And I have never been happier than I am not having that in my life. And it is worth it. Like for Thanksgiving this year, I was feeling especially sorry for myself. And so we decided to put on Facebook, anybody local that was lonely or needed food, we did a drive-by Thanksgiving dinner. And the kids and I cooked Thanksgiving for over 100 people. And cars would drive by and we'd have packages of plates of, you know, containers covered with food for these people that were also feeling lonely and sad. So if you feel lonely and sad to not have family, there's other people feeling that way. And find them and fill that void for them will in turn fill the void for you. And that was the best Thanksgiving we've ever had.
That's awesome. So you took a feeling and then you pivoted and said, let's make a positive out of this. And it ended up being the best one ever. That's what people need to hear. I mean, people need to relate to that and see what's going on. You know, Elizabeth, what... As an entrepreneur and building your business, I want to ask a couple more questions on that. What would you tell people when you have trauma, right? And a lot of people would say, that's not going to enable me to be something successful. That's not going to enable me to be a great mom or enable me to be a great wife or be an inspiration to others or open a business or be a great community person and help other people out on Thanksgiving. People get stuck with that trauma. What would you tell someone who is inspiring to either open a business or try out for a job or break free of a nasty relationship that they don't need to be about? What tips would you give them since you have been through a lot of that?
You know, I mess up my kids like anybody else. And I tell them all the time, I am doing my best, but I am messing you up in ways I don't even see. So I will help pay for therapy and I will be there for you to support you however you need it. But no, I'm doing my best. So I think for a lot of years, I held myself up to this expectation of being perfect. And I think a lot of people with trauma do that. And if they mess up, it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I think is the saying. You know, it's like, well, I messed up, so I'm just going to go down this entire rabbit hole and sink myself in. And I used to do that. And I think it's okay to do that to some degree. But what I do now that's been really helpful is I set a time limit and I say, okay, I really need to sit and feel this. I'm not going to just hide it. I'm not just going to push it away, but I need to sit and feel this. So I'm going to take, my husband's really great and he lets me order takeout. I take it up to my room and I binge watch just a lighthearted show so that I can process what I need to and get through what I need to and give my time to grieve if I need to. And then the next day I let it go and I have to force myself sometimes and it's hard. But once you get the ball rolling again, you'll hit a rock or two and it'll be bumpy, it'll be rocky, but trust your gut and go for it. And public speaking about your trauma isn't for everybody. I know that. Telling the world isn't for everybody. That's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you don't believe in yourself even, find somebody that believes in you and trust them. Because I did that for a long time as well. And get yourself up and out of bed and it will get to a habit. I promise it's worth it. And life is so much more beautiful once you can do that and stick with it. I promise you it is worth it in the end.
Yeah, I'm really happy that we got to do this podcast because I preach create your own map, and we always let outside influence or problems or hurt or trauma dictate our lives. And you are living and breathing proof of somebody who created their own map that said, I've had enough. This is what I'm doing. And I'm going to be a great wife, and I'm going to be a great mother, and I'm going to have, you know, five kids and, you know, four boys. It's rowdy. You almost got a basketball team. Your daughter gets to jump in and help them. But you've got all these things going on, and then you're sharing it. And so, and that's the unique thing is some people, when you can release something and tell people about it, whether it be a therapist, whether it be a great friend, whether it be a spouse, whether it be the world, you're serving somebody because not only are they understanding you, but you're releasing that nonsense, that demon. I'd like to move over. So now you can create your own map because it's a big block that's sitting there when you just hold it in and you blame yourself for anything going wrong and you think everything's your fault and nothing good will happen and the clouds follow you and there's no sunshine available. But once you do kind of what you did and you shift that over, you really get to dial in and pick the path you want to go to. And I think that it's great that you can share that and go out and speak about that. And your humility about everything of saying, hey, look, I still get scared. I go to my, you know, my hometown and I have nightmares. I'm still worried. I still have fear. That's people are relating to that saying, you know what, you can't fix everything overnight. You know, you can't clap and it's over. It takes time. It takes little steps, little steps, little steps to get stronger every single day.
Yep. You know, I use this analogy a lot, but I just love it. It's like when you have trauma, it's like you break a bone. And if you break your finger and it heals, but you'd never get it set in the right spot, you can still use it, but you can't use it to its full potential. And healing through your trauma is re-breaking that bone. And it is painful and it hurts. And you have to have time to let it heal, but it will heal in the right place. And then you're going to be so much more powerful. And the other thing I've found is when you share your life with somebody, most of the time you have a lot of people standing with you. And the fears that you have of nobody's going to believe you is not as prevalent as it is in your mind. So I just want everybody to realize we all want to support each other and we all want to be there for each other. So trust your people to be there for you when you're ready to re-break that bone and set it in the right spot so you can be whole. Go for it.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Where can everybody find you at? What's the easiest place to find you in Hero Bands?
So my website is herobands.com. I share a little more of my story there as well. And on social media, I'm mostly on Instagram and it's hero_bands.
I just started following you last week. So really cool stuff on there. There you guys have it. No matter how ugly it is out there, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You heard it here right now from Elizabeth Frazier, who was able to escape her past and ultimately give back from her experiences. Thank you so much for your time, Elizabeth, and sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jason.
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam. True Underdog. Bam.